Okay, welcome everybody to our call today called Tapping Into Your Sixth Sense. My name is Damien Sen and it's a great pleasure having you on the call today. In a few moments from now, I'll be introducing our very special guest, Heidi Sawyer. But before I do, please allow me to share how this call will work today, particularly if this is your first PeopleYouShouldMeet.com call that you've tuned into. Now, we're going to be on the call for around about an hour, and over the course of the hour, I'll be asking Heidi a whole series of different questions on our topic. Some of the questions will be my own, but the vast majority of questions will have actually been submitted in through our site by you, our listeners. Now, I first came across Heidi's work through a good friend of mine called Sheila Steptoe, who has also featured on the People You Should Meet program. And I guess because my great passions for psychic development and also intuitive development, like when I heard about Heidi's work, I immediately had that sense that she'd be fantastic on the program, and I knew lots of our listeners would love to learn more about it as well. Now, Heidi herself has been a psychic development teacher since 1996. She's a Hay House author and speaker and has shared the stage at different Hay House events with the likes of Wayne Dyer, Louise Hay and Doreen Virtue. So it's a great pleasure to welcome her to the call and explore this whole arena of psychic and intuitive development. How are you doing there, Heidi?
Brilliant.
Now, Heidi, I just thought we'd actually begin at the very top by just exploring what exactly the sixth sense is.
In my view, the sixth sense is something that we all have. I believe that it's something that it's in addition to our five senses, but we've simply forgotten how to use it. But for everybody who's here on this call today, you're going to be termed as what's called a sensitive, because otherwise you're not going to be interested in the subject unless you are. And a sensitive is somebody who is sensitive to the energy of themselves, their environment, and other people. So what it means to be psychic or to use the sixth sense means that you have an additional sense to your five senses, which for some people shows as an insight here and there, and for others it's very consistent. And for some people they get things like premonitions and dreams, being able to have glimpses into things that are coming in the future. Some people know about others who they may have met or just met. Having a sense that's more than our everyday way of looking at things.
Mm. Now, Heidi, is your sixth sense something that you've always had a deep connection with, or has it been something that you've actually purposefully cultivated and allowed to grow over the years, or both?
It's something that I would say has been there since a very early time, but for me, the big thing for me was quite a few years ago now, I was in my early 20s and I was leaving the house. I was reversing out of the driveway in the car and I looked up and I saw a figure move from the front room into the hallway. And I thought for a second it was a burglar. I thought someone had been waiting for everyone to kind of go out. And when I looked again, I thought, oh, hang on a second. Burglars don't tend to hang around looking at you. And when I looked again, I saw my grandmother, who had passed several years previous, standing at the front door waving to me. It was the last thing I was expecting.
Wow. How did you... What was your initial reaction to seeing your grandmother?
It was relief that it wasn't a burglar.
Oh, right.
And, I was quite shocked. And then she kept making herself really quite known. She kept making her presence known. It all kind of escalated into a situation where my father was sitting on a bench in the garden, and he and my grandmother, it was my mother's mother, didn't really get on very well. And at the time, he smoked cigars, and in this pot next to the bench was my grandmother's ashes that my mother kept, in the belief that if they moved, the pot could go with them. And he was sat there smoking this cigar, flicking ash into it. Sounds really naughty, but that's what he was doing. And I said, that's really not a good idea. I don't think she's going to like that very much. And he sort of went, well, we'll offer. And out of nowhere came the biggest stag beetle you've ever seen and flew straight at him.
Wow.
And grabbed the end of his nose.
Oh, my God.
For which he then disappeared over the back of this bench. And I said to him, I told you she wouldn't like it. So she kept making herself really quite known over a period of time until the day I really started to actively develop my own abilities. And from that day forward, I have not seen her since.
Wow. Amazing. And was your father a skeptic up until that moment?
Oh, absolutely. Big style, yes.
Wow, that's amazing. Now, Heidi, you mentioned something very interesting before about sensitives and I guess people who are tuning into this program, and indeed many of the people you've met shows are of a sensitive nature. And I was just wondering if you could share a little bit more insight into this, because I know lots of people are feeling more and more sensitive as time goes by as well. And
well, there are many opening signs, and certainly I'm a great believer in these opening signs, which is something that I've observed over years of teaching psychic development, and certainly it's something that I've seen as far as people coming in who are new to their development and or new to opening up to their sixth sense. Now, there are a variety of opening signs, and these are in no particular order. But things like seeing things out of the corner of your eye, knowing who's on the phone before you've picked it up, things like receiving messages in dreams that seem to then become true, dreaming of events before they happen, a fascination with the colours pink and lilac, that's a very common one. How that feels is walking past, let's say, a shop window and thinking, oh, look, there's something pink and or lilac in there, and being very drawn towards it. It's what I would call the pink and purple phase. sensitivity to noise. A lot of sensitives become increasingly more sensitive to noise. They perhaps used to like quite a lot of noise in the background, and now they find themselves needing peace and quiet, and things quite quiet at some point in the day. A lot of sensitives start to really pick up on people's thoughts and emotions. So how that may show is perhaps they would be sitting on a bus, reading a book or something like that, and suddenly they have quite an overwhelming feeling that perhaps they didn't have a few moments previous, and perhaps that could be a feeling of upset, or it could be a feeling of overwhelm, or it could be a sudden feeling of happiness, and think, where did that come from? And what they're doing is picking up on the thoughts and feelings of other people around them.
Amazing. And when people come to your work, Heidi, are they typically already experiencing some of the opening signs, or is it also with people who are just curious about psychic phenomena?
Absolutely. If you are even curious, you'll be starting to go through the opening signs. There are many other opening signs which kind of go on further. You've got stage one, you've got stage two into stage three, and those move into quite strong development processes that people find themselves quite spontaneously entering. So, for instance, a lot of people are become more and more attracted to the healing arts. So those can be, that can be anything from massage to any form of complementary health to things like NLP. All the different subjects, quite often they may start as something along the lines of a mental interest, so something that sort of stimulates your mental thoughts, and then it starts moving deeper into something around intuition. To give you as an example, a lot of massage therapists, for instance, they will start to find that they're working with somebody, and then they start to get really quite strong insights into that person's life, and they say, well, where did this come from? Or people who are interested in Reiki and healing, and they may be doing a little bit of Reiki with somebody, and then they start to get really powerful insights into that person's life.
Amazing. Now, when people actually start opening to their psychic and intuitive powers, like you mentioned with seeing your grandmother, and actually being relieved. Now, do all people feel that sense of relief when they start tapping into these energies, or is it can the opposite also be true?
No, I think also a lot of people start to go through feelings of overwhelm, because if you haven't had any particular sixth sense ability, and then you suddenly find that you've got a lot, it can be something that's rather overwhelming. And people think that if they ignore it, then it will be fine. You know, it'll go away. The fact is the more you ignore it, the more it increases. So quite often, the best thing that a person can do is actually to start to develop their ability in order to allow it to settle down.
And how do you actually recommend people to start developing their intuitive senses? Like, I know many people who I've spoken to may have been in quite sensory heavy worlds before their this sixth sense starts opening up for them. Is there a way to actually come together with other people that are experiencing these kind of phenomena and really I guess develop these skills and abilities together?
Absolutely. There are many different types of groups, development groups, and some people, you know, there's some that are formed locally with friends, there's some that are formed within spiritualist types of environments. Those kinds of groups, some things kind of evolve from other groups, other meeting groups, anything to do with, let's say, for instance, the healing arts, anything within that. Quite often these groups form as a result of that. But I would always say, for a person who's looking for some form of development, it's a good idea to go with that's a recommendation, that's a personal recommendation. Because it's really important that you're comfortable within a group and you feel as though you're part of it. So, for instance, this is an example, meditation groups, they're pretty much a good entry point, and it's also a good point, it's a good point to really start to allow your deeper senses to unfold. Certainly, working at home, you can do a lot working at home, doing your own things, getting more comfortable with it. Certainly, as far as the opening signs are concerned, if you're interested in learning more about the opening signs, certainly I go into a great deal of depth in my book, which is The Intelligent Guide to the Sixth Sense. All the opening signs are quite clearly in there. It's quite a good idea, most certainly, to really look around, to feel what you're comfortable with as far as your own development is concerned, because some people do get quite frightened by the idea of their psychic abilities opening up, when in actual fact it isn't anything to be frightened of.
And I guess lots of people also get a feeling that they were quite psychic when they were children, but then for some reason they've actually shut down the faculties just to navigate like our material world. Now, is it something that you believe that we're all psychic, or is it a skill or talent that's just reserved for the lucky few? Or
I don't believe that it's something that you have to be hit on the head with a magic stick for, is what I call it. It is something that is natural, but as a sensitive, you're going to be more sensitive to developing that ability than somebody who isn't quite as sensitive. So, for example, all able-bodied people can run, but it doesn't mean to say that everybody feels that they are drawn towards running. So it's something that people who are naturally sensitive will start to find that they are more and more drawn towards. And it may be something that's been there since childhood that does get perhaps a little bit turned off during sort of early adult years, but it will come back without doubt. It does come back.
And for someone at home, Heidi, that's really thinking about taking that first step to developing these abilities, what would you recommend? Where would you recommend that they start?
Well, I would say for them to start with looking at materials, so looking at books, looking at just browsing, for instance, on the internet for the things that they feel drawn towards, because it's really important that somebody feels that they really connect with the material that they're looking at, because for a sensitive to really develop, they've got to feel comfortable and that they can relax into it, because there's different types of intuitive. So to give you as an example, you have your clairvoyant types. Now, your clairvoyant types, clair means clear, so it means clear seer. So a clairvoyant type is going to be, is more of a visual type of person. So they're going to be drawn towards something that they can do, that they can see, that they can read. Someone who is more of a clairsentient type, so is more of a feeling type, is going to be somebody who needs to really go through an experience. So we need to open up their experience. So things like meditation, listening to different programs, etc., is going to be something that will help them to open up their abilities. Any form of connection with others is a very important part of developing your sixth sense. So finding groups where you can connect with other people, and they don't have to be in person. These are things that can also be online. So it's a sharing of experiences to feel more comfortable with your progress.
Excellent. I guess you've been teaching psychic development for quite a long time now, Heidi, and I was just wondering if you had like a specific person that pops out into mind who has literally just embraced their psychic gifts and it's really helping them to step into what they're here to do on planet Earth.
Oh, absolutely. I know plenty of people who've got really quite powerful experiences. Certainly what I've seen, and I've taught an awful lot of people, I'd say it's going into the thousands.
Well,
and what I've seen time and time again is that they have moved from being really quite timid and quite shy, not necessarily as individuals, but within, the feelings within. And that what they've managed to develop over a period of time is an inner confidence that is very clear, really clear, very crystal clear in some instances, where people have gone from a place of constantly procrastinating, being in work environments, for example, where they do that work because they've got bills to pay, they've got a mortgage to pay, to shifting out of that to being in a place where they feel more confident to be able to go into the line of work that they really want to do. And I've seen them over a period of time enter the, you know, the areas that they've wanted to do, or they've found a sense of purpose. They've really found where they've settled into something that's felt right because of this inner sense of confidence developing, that they felt the courage to shift.
That's excellent. Great, Heidi. Well, as I mentioned early in the introduction, we've had people that have signed up for the call from all over the world, and we've just been absolutely inundated with questions. So I thought I'd just jump in there right away and start asking some of the questions that people have at home. And I'm just going to kick you off with a question from Andrew, who is in South Africa. And Andrew asks, I find my gut feelings are about 60% right and are very valuable. How do I get the other 40% to be as valuable?
That's a classic example of the row that goes on, the argument between, we'll call it the personality self and the essence self. So, for instance, the part that reads insight and the part that reads imagination. So, to give you as an example, intuition, the sixth sense, comes within the solar plexus region, so it comes from the stomach first. So by the time any information has reached the head area, it's been mixed in with the personality self. So it's been mixed in with what is your experience of life, the things that you draw upon as being your experience from, you know, from the day you're born and to the present moment. So it gets mixed in. Now, to be able to find that the other 40% is more reliable, it's a case of noticing, spending a little bit more time noticing when it's been right and when you've thought it's been right and it's actually been along the lines of incorrect. So true insight, true ability, psychic ability, intuitive ability starts as a feeling before it becomes a knowing. And quite often it's just a split second between the two. And it's a case of pausing for a moment and asking yourself, is this insight or is this imagination? And if it's a rising feeling, it's insight. If it's a sinking feeling, it's imagination.
That's very interesting. So if it's a rising feeling, it's insight. If it's a sinking feeling, it's imagination.
But the key point within that is to keep your mind neutral. So when you're working out as to whether it's a rising or a sinking, is to keep your mind steady and neutral. That's one of the most tricky parts of developing your ability, and that takes a little bit more time, which is to being able to allow your psyche to be still enough to not try and influence whether it's a rising or a sinking.
And how do people actually distinguish that between the two? If it's something that's unfamiliar to them, what are some telltale signs of it being a rising feeling versus a sinking feeling?
Practice. So the way to practice is around things, for instance, if you're making a decision around something and you're thinking, okay, now, is this going to be, let's think of something, is it going to be a great day at work, for instance, on your way to work? If you get a rising feeling, then you think, oh, okay, it's going to be a great day. If you're going to get a sinking feeling, think, oh, okay, I'll watch for the things that could go a little bit wrong, things that aren't going as smoothly as they could do. And noticing, questioning, and asking yourself, is this rising or is this sinking? But also being more aware of your environment, noticing things. For me, for instance, from the early stages of development, what I've always done is become nosy. So if I want to know, I think, okay, now, if this is happening in this person's life, why is it happening? What's it got to do with? Why is it there? I want it presented in a way that goes deeper. So it's always about asking the questions deeper. So if it's to do with the self, ask the questions in a deeper way. Why am I going through this? What is this about? Am I going to find my way through it? Is this intuitive? Is this imagination? To ask the questions of the self.
Mm.
And the more you do that, the quicker, the sharper your actual sixth sense becomes, to the point at which you know the parts that you can rely on, rather than it being a vague feeling. It's practice, it's knowing, it's shifting from something that's thought of there to something that's very solid.
Mm. And in terms of practice, how much practice would it take for someone to really start to build that confidence?
It doesn't take very long. So, for instance, in the early days of my development, I was around an environment that was not very accepting of psychic things, sixth sense, not accepting at all of it. So I had to practice in quite an imaginative way. So one of the things, for instance, that I used to do is I would get magazines. So I would get, you know, things like celebrity magazines, ones with lots of pictures in them. And I would go through the magazines, and I would have a feel for what was going on in that person's life moving forward. So I'd look at the pictures and I'd think, okay, well, what's going on in this person's life? And I'd have a feel for them and a feel for their life and what was going on around them. And then I would keep an eye on it over a period of, let's say, 3 months, and I would see if I was right. Because, for instance, with celebrity magazines, if you're right, it's going to come out at some point or another in a few months' time. So I would keep going with those magazines to see whether I was correct. And that's how I used to practice. I also used to practice on things or around things, for instance, where I knew that if it was happening, or if I knew that it must be intuitive, because it had to be in order for it to manifest in that way, rather than it be my imagination. So I used to do things like, for instance, my mother had this very difficult dog. She had this dog that was a Jack Russell. I'm not sure. I don't know if you're familiar with them, but they're small dogs, which can be really quite aggressive. They can suffer from small dog syndrome. They're a lot bigger than they are. And this dog she had really did suffer from small dog syndrome. And he was really quite aggressive. For instance, the postman used to hide, and he wouldn't come along the driveway because he never knew where this dog was or whether he was going to get hold of him or that kind of thing. So I knew, for instance, that if I practiced psychic healing, as an example, that if I could calm this dog down, it was something that was very real. And I did. I used to practice on this dog. And he would go into this really calm place when I practiced on him, to the point of which, if I then got out a dowsing pendulum, because I used to practice with that to see how much movement was in the dog's chakra system. As soon as he would see a dowsing pendulum, he used to come over and he would lie on his back waiting for me to start experimenting on his energy system.
And do dogs have a similar kind of chakra system to humans? Or?
Well, I don't know, but I used to experiment with what I thought would be his particular system, and it worked. He was not exactly a very friendly dog, but certainly after I practiced and really kind of worked on his energy as I would do with a human,
mm.
There were some really quite powerful results, which I knew could not be, for instance, a placebo,
right.
For the simple reason that he's a dog.
Mm.
He's not a human who could just kind of maybe think that something was happening. The dog had to be feeling it in
mm.
order to get that kind of response.
Mm.
So I would practice on anything. I used to practice with magazines. For instance, if you were to give, because I've had so much practice with it over the years, if you were to give me a load of pictures which were just people's jawlines, we used to have in magazines years ago, they used to do just cutouts with the bottom of people's faces,
mm.
and you had to guess who that person was. Now, if you give me a load of pictures with just people's jawlines, bottom half of their face, not the top half or anything like that, I can tell you their life, what's going on around them,
wow.
what their general thoughts and feelings are, because all the information about a person is actually stored in their jaw.
Because
everything they've spoken has passed through there,
wow.
and everything they haven't said has been pushed back down again.
Right.
So what you get, for instance, with sensitives is a lot of the time what they will find is that people start to say to them, oh, wow, you look well. What have you been doing? What's changed? You look younger. I've heard that numerous times when people really start to work on themselves.
Mm.
People would say, oh, gosh, you look younger. Something's changed.
Mm.
What have you been doing? And what they're actually saying on an unconscious level is, oh, you're releasing tension from your jaw.
Mm. Mm, that's very interesting. Now, Heidi, you mentioned a few of the different ways of receiving messages, such as clairvoyance and clairsentience. I know people at home would be fascinated to actually hear about how you actually personally receive messages. Is it through all the different modalities? Or is there ones that you particularly favour?
There's nothing that I particularly favour. What I find is I work with who the person is. So to give you an example, if somebody is a very visual type, I will receive information in really quite a visual way.
Mm.
If someone is much more of a feeling type, then I will receive information in a way that's to do with feelings, so I can then portray what I need to pass on
mm.
in a way that that person can understand.
Mm.
So how I interpret the message is in a way that their psyche can accept. So,
mm.
for instance, if someone is more of a clairsentient type, if I was to describe whatever it is that I need to talk to them about in a way that's more for a visual type of person, they may not be able to understand what I'm trying to say.
Right.
As far as the interpretation is concerned. So what I do is I find that my whole energy will adjust to what is suitable for the person to be able to receive
mm.
information. So if I'm looking at, for instance, my specialities are very much around looking for things that people need to correct and looking in the subconscious to find where the pattern is. Someone once described a session with me as 10 years of psychotherapy in 10 minutes.
Wow.
Because what I do, well, to give you an example, I have lots of people who are, let's say, people who are really quite high up in their industry, in their in various different industries, and they may say to their friends, oh, well, go and see Heidi or talk to Heidi. And they may say to them, well, what does she do? So, well, it's hard to describe, but talk to Heidi.
Mm.
And I'll find them, they've booked an appointment, and I'll say to them, oh, would you like me to look at? And I'll say, oh, well, so-and-so sent me. They didn't really say what I should do, But this is the area in my life that gives me a few issues at the moment. What do you need me to tell you about it? And often what I need, all I need, is for them to give me one sentence and I can go straight in there.
Well,
but it's I will explore dependent on the individual, but mostly I explore through a person's unconscious world, and what I'm able to do is make their unconscious more conscious.
Excellent. Great, Heidi. Now we've got another question here that I'd like to ask. It's from Bonnie, who is in the United States. And Bonnie asks, does meditating help develop psychic abilities?
Yes, absolutely. Meditation is something that is underused in our everyday life. It doesn't mean that we have to, you know, sit still and go into a deep state and kind of really focus for hours in a day. A meditation can be simply spending a few moments, you know, 5 minutes a day, just sitting quietly doing nothing or staring out the window. It's a very peaceful thing to do, and it's very good for the mind. So certainly meditation helps a person to develop their sixth sense, simply because what you're doing is shifting your mind from being a party in your head to a library. And when you've got a library, you can hear very clearly. So, for instance, you don't have to shout to be heard. But if you've got a party going on in there, even if someone's shouting, it doesn't mean to say that you can hear.
Right.
So meditation transforms that into stillness.
Shifting from a party to a library, I love it. Now this one's actually extends that out a little bit, and this question comes from Helen in the United Kingdom, and Helen asks, "Hi Heidi, why is it that when I meditate, I see lots of people I don't know, all races and from different time periods? I get these people one after the other. For example, 10 people in say 1 minute. Many thanks, Helen."
That's a really good question, because that is actually something that a lot of people, when they really get into developing their sixth sense, what they come across, it's a very strong thing that people come across. And what it is it's a lot of images passing very quickly, and normally they come from the left or the right. They don't necessarily come from right in front of you. What it is the brain relaxing. And that's an important part of developing your natural abilities, is to allow the brain to relax. Now, most people's brains never actually properly relax in their entire lifetime. So to be able to get the images of just faces passing, it's a sure sign that you're feeling comfortable enough to allow your deeper senses to really begin to develop. So it's not something that's it's not spirit, or it's not communication with spirit. What it is, in that particular instance, is the brain going into a relaxed state enough to release old images that it no longer needs to store.
That's an excellent answer and an excellent question, Helen. Okay, this question comes from Sue, who is in the United Kingdom, and Sue asks, "Dear Heidi, do you feel that oracle decks and tarot cards enhance our psychic abilities, or do they diminish our confidence in our natural unaided abilities?"
Tarot decks and oracle cards they're tools. They are tools for us to be able to access our deeper abilities. Now, one of the things that really limits our sixth sense is a lack of confidence and a lack of belief in the self, and that does create limitations. What tarot decks and oracle cards do is they provide us focus. So therefore, they're very good and they're very powerful tools at the beginning of the development process, because what you're doing then is building your confidence. Tarot cards, for instance, are an access point to the unconscious. So it's a mirror. It's a mirror as to our internal world that hasn't yet manifest.
Mm.
So they're a good tool to start with. It doesn't mean to say they're an end point, but they're most definitely a powerful tool to start with, and also to help a person build their confidence.
Mm. Yeah, I like that as a notion, just an access point. Excellent. Great. This one is a question that lots of people have around diet and sensitivity. And this is a question from Robin in the United Kingdom. And Robin asks, what does Heidi feel about meat eating, vegetarianism and veganism? I've been a vegan for most of my life, approximately 80% of that being raw, and more so in the last few years. Recently, I've embarked on a healing program which has challenged this. I've committed to a 3-month trial in which I've been eating meat and changing my diet from raw to light cooked. The feedback I've received from those close to me is that I'm much more present, much more grounded, and I seem to be of much more even temperament. This may be a combination of intensive treatments that I've been undergoing or diet and treatments. It's hard for me to discern. I've observed within myself the shift from feeling very light and highly vibrational into being much more aware of energy out there to feeling much more present in myself and much more aware of my energy within myself. I hope this makes sense. I'll be very interested to hear what Heidi says about diet.
That's a very interesting question, because I think for all sensitives, at some stage or another, it's one of the opening signs, which is you start to question what you eat, but also you may experience things such as an increase in allergies and things where, well, not allergies, but sensitivities, food sensitivities. Now, I get asked quite often about whether, you know, in order to develop your sixth sense, you have to be a vegetarian. It's not true. You don't have to be a vegetarian in order to be able to really develop your sixth sense.
Mm.
The power of the sixth sense is being able to develop that whilst being fully present in the body.
Mm.
If your tendency is to be quite out of the body, you're not going to be able to stabilize your sensory abilities into something that's very helpful and useful. Our whole purpose, our whole life purpose, is to experience being in a physical body. That's the whole point. We're here to experience emotion in a physical body. And to be able to do that, it is about accepting our deeper senses, but that they are very physical. We don't have to become something very non-physical in order to experience our deeper senses. And I think that that's been quite a thing that people have got a little bit caught up in that you think that you have to be out of your body to be able to develop your sixth sense, and it's not true. So certainly as far as meat is concerned, I eat meat. I have been through periods of time where I've been a vegetarian. I don't eat a lot of meat, and I certainly prefer fish. But I do eat meat when I feel intuitively that my body needs it.
Mm.
And I think in that particular question, what we're talking about is listening to what our body needs. Mm. And I think if it needs something like meat, it is a case of giving it to it. It's not going to affect your sensory ability.
Mm. Excellent. That's a great question, Robin, and a great answer as well, Heidi. Now, this question comes from Hazel, who is in the UK, and Hazel asks, what should you expect to happen as you start to grow? What may you experience?
That's a good question. A lot of people experience different things. So to kind of go back to some elements of the opening signs, people can, sensitives tend to go through quite strong shifts. So as they really start to develop, they find that a lot of things change and a lot of things sort of begin to adjust. And they adjust as a result of movement and changes in their internal world. Mm. One of the primary things that you can expect in really developing your sixth sense in a way that's stable, that's centered, and that's grounded is that the heart center energy, the heart center chakra energy really begins to open up and even up. And what that means is you start to find that it's really quite difficult to live a life of compromise. Mm. And it doesn't mean that you start becoming really quite stubborn and difficult. It means more of it's hard to live what isn't your truth.
Mm.
So it becomes more and more of a desire and need to really live who you are and what your truth is.
Mm.
So, for instance, people can expect that the things that don't work in your life to suddenly be removed, whether you like it or not.
Mm.
But in actual fact, it's extremely good for you. It pushes you. It pushes you into your own truth as to who you are. So the sixth sense is absolutely about who you are, your truth, what it is that you want to feel as part of your life, which is why people can most definitely expect a drawing and a need to find purpose and to feel connected to what they feel is their purpose in life and feel that there's an overwhelming draw towards experiencing that.
Mm, absolutely. I'm sure many of our listeners will definitely relate to that one. Great. Now, Heidi, we had lots of people actually send in questions around having, like, you give an intuitive read on a different aspect of their life, and I'm just going to just squeeze in a couple of quick ones for your insight. And this one comes from Nazarin in the UK, and Nazarin asks, I have had expensive jewellery taken from my home. No burglary, no robbery. I suspect family. How can I tap into my resources and discover the truth? Thank you.
Okay. I think it feels to me that the energy there is that she already knows the truth.
Mm.
And it feels to me that most certainly it does feel as though it is somebody that she does know.
Mm.
But I think she already knows. It feels to me that she knows that,
mm.
but just needs confirmation. It doesn't feel to me. I would say that this is a classic example of knowing, but not feeling confident in your knowing.
Mm.
And what I'm saying here is that she should feel confident in her knowing, because it is telling her the truth.
Mm. Excellent. And this one's from Eileen, who is also in the UK, and Eileen asks, I get images from time to time and had a dark slate coloured horizontal 5-inch deep tombstone with a chipped edge and a tiny little plant near that edge. Would you let me know what messages lie in this image? Thank you.
That's a classic example of a clairvoyant type,
mm.
which is receiving information as symbolism. That is a very strong symbolism,
mm.
and being shown to adjust something quite profound. So what that is about letting go of the past, or letting go of things that are no longer working, and letting go of the old and letting in the new. So, for example, the tombstone is what's old, what's dead,
mm.
what's finished with. And the little plant, the plant at the edge, is the new things taking shape.
Mm.
So what that will be is Eileen allows for a lot of the past things that are not working for her to have a dominant feel over the things that are really trying to take shape. So that is absolutely letting go of the old and letting in the new.
Mm. Excellent.
Very typical of a sensitive opening up.
Excellent. Thank you, Eileen, for the question, and thank you, Heidi, for your answer. Well, Heidi, we're literally coming to the end of our hour, and just really wanted to take this time to thank you for sharing your deep insights. I know for many people who are sensitive or opening up to their sensitivities, it can be quite a daunting process. And I guess having someone who has been on the path for a long time share their wisdom and insight is really such a wonderful gift to offer. And I'm sure people at home have really resonated with what you've shared today. And I was just wondering if you could actually share with people how they can actually find out more about your work and your books and your readings and workshops.
Oh, absolutely. For those who are interested in really kind of understanding the opening signs and what to expect, and also to expect what to expect of how they're going to open up as time moves on. This is very much based on the experiences that I've seen over the years and also what I've seen sensitives go through and the transformations. It's something, you know, exactly as you're saying there, which is to feel more confident within your ability, then I would absolutely say my book is a fantastic starting point as far as that's concerned. Mm. And that's called The Intelligent Guide to the Sixth Sense. By me, Heidi Sawyer, and that's a Hay House book, and it's available from Hay House. It's also available from any good bookshop, including Amazon.co.uk and also Amazon.com. It's for release very shortly, so certainly if the copies aren't quite available, you can definitely pre-order those for immediate delivery. My Psychic Powers course, which is a home study course, that's available from psychiccourses.com, which is P-S-Y-C-H-I-C courses.com. That's something that will really help people who are just starting out, who are really wanting to explore their senses in a deeper way. It's a very accelerated version where you will absolutely get results very quickly. It's a very popular course. It's a bestseller across the world. We sell it in 55 different countries.
Wow.
I'm also, my sessions, for things like reading sessions, my most popular one is called Your Life Plan, which is a very comprehensive reading session, very deep. It goes into various different aspects of the self, and I've seen people have really challenging things going on in their life and have found that with a life plan session, things are transformed very quickly. One lady was, for instance, her business wasn't working. It was becoming a really desperate situation. A life plan session had it solved, and how to restructure in about 15 minutes. She
wow.
had answers that she'd been looking for 2 years.
Wow.
And what that is, it's because it's a deep exploration of the person and what it is that they need to adjust, which they can't see. And it's about exposing that, bringing it up to the surface, and then really giving them the tools to work with. It's the thing that I get the most excited about.
Mm-hmm.
It most certainly for that, because I love to see the transformation and the things that are there for people to really kind of tap into and use. For more information on on my reading sessions and the life plans, it's HeidiSawyer.com, and the information on the life plan sessions are there. For as a special for you and your listeners, I have a situation where you can receive £55 off a session when you call up to book, as long as you mention Damien when you call.
Excellent.
Okay, so the promotion code is Damien.
The secret password. Now, Heidi, can people actually, like you're in the UK now, do people need to be in the UK to take advantage of your readings and your services, or can they be located anywhere in the world?
They can be wherever in the world, because I work primarily over the phone, because I work in a lot of places. I work in the UK. I live a part of the time in the south of France as well. I do a lot of work in Ireland, and I'm just about to do some work in Japan.
Wow.
So I get around. so certainly the life plan sessions are phone appointments, and it makes absolutely no difference to me whether the person sat in front of me or on the other side of the world. I had one chap, as an example, he was in Florida, and I was talking to him, and I gave him as an example. I said, well, if you imagine, if it's presented to you, this is your life as a room that's like that, and it's waiting to have this put in it, and you're thinking about this kind of furniture and that kind of furniture, and this would be how it would be set out. And it went very quiet on the other end of the phone. And I said, hello, are you still there? And he said, where are you? And I said, why? He said, are you in the room or something? Because you've just described exactly the room I am sat in.
So
it doesn't make any difference to me whatsoever as to where a person is. Absolutely, I talk to people from all over the world.
Great. Excellent. That sounds like an excellent opportunity for people. Great. That's fantastic, Heidi. Now, we're coming to our close, and I was just wondering if you had some final words of advice or encouragement or insight that you'd love to share with people who are on this path of opening to their sensitivities, their psychic abilities, and their sixth sense.
Absolutely. I would say that the sixth sense is something to be proud of, to not be afraid of, and to realise that you're not alone.
Mm.
You're not alone in your journey. You're not alone in yourself. There are most definitely other people who are going through the same and the same transformations. And the other side of those transformations, I have to say, even if it's really quite a challenge and quite uncomfortable, it's absolutely worth it.
Mm. Excellent. Well, Heidi, I just really wanted to take this opportunity to thank you wholeheartedly for first of all, embracing your journey and embracing your own sensitivities, and also really making a stand for people who are on that journey of awakening as well. I think the work you're doing in the world is incredibly valuable, and just gathered by the enormous response we've had to this call and all the wonderful questions that got sent in from around the world. It's a topic and an area that's of great fascination for lots of people. So thank you for sharing the last hour with us.
Absolute pleasure.
And also this process called People You Should Meet would certainly not be complete without all of our listeners from all around the world. I just want to echo Heidi's comments there that you are not alone. This People You Should Meet program is specifically designed for people who are on that path of self-discovery and opening. So the reason why we have it week to week is so you have a point wherever you are in the world to come to connect with others and to really set a space for your deep unfolding as a human being on this earth plane. Now, for those of you who would like to listen to this call again, I know I certainly will be, It will be made available on the People You Should Meet website tomorrow morning for free. Now, you may want to listen to it again, and you also may want to actually share it with friends, family and loved ones who could get some real value out of it. Now, on the People You Should Meet website, we've actually added in lots of different social networking functionality and have made it easier than ever before to share this information. All you really need to do is click either the Facebook button or the Twitter button, and within a click you can share and distribute this valuable content to your networks. Great. So that brings us to the end of another call. Thank you again so much, Heidi. It's been a real pleasure having you on the show, and thank you everyone at home.
Thank you, Damien.
Take care.
Bye now.